Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our FY23 final results presentation for Inspired PLC. Presenting for you today is myself, Mark Dickinson, Chief Exec, David Cockshott, Chief Commercial Officer, and Paul Connor, Chief Financial Officer. What we're going to do today is we're going to walk you through and remind you about what the business does, ultimately how we help corporate businesses deal with a number of key challenges in the macroeconomic environment, and ultimately deliver on their transformation towards net zero and managing climate change. I'm delighted as we do this to be able to bring to life for you some new non-financial KPIs, which really speak to how we've managed to transform the business into a successful cross-selling engine, which really drives a lot of the growth we've been seeing over the recent year. After that, Paul and David are going to walk you through each division one by one before Paul picks up on group financials. And then finally, as an ESG company, and clearly we have to be able to walk the talk, so I'll give you an update on where we are on our own ESG journey before looking at FY24 and beyond. So as you'll recall, four divisions. Those four divisions offering complementary services, diversifying the revenue line, and ultimately the result of a transformation into a full suite sustainability service provider. Our assurance services division helps corporate businesses manage their energy cost equation. Our ESG services division helps businesses deliver those ESG disclosures that are now an increasingly revenue critical and investment critical item for businesses. The optimization services division builds on the data and the work we do there to really then help those businesses on their journey towards net zero, answering that repeatable question, how do I deliver my next unit of carbon emissions reduction or my next unit of energy consumption reduction? Noting that's nearly always a cross-sell opportunity from existing customers. All of these three divisions are underpinned by our software services division, which is increasingly recognized as a market-leading platform. And together, collectively, we help those corporate businesses manage the four C's: cost, consumption, carbon, and compliance. A diverse range of customers, some brand names to die for, and ultimately, it's our relationship with these customers that really helps us deliver our cross-selling thesis. The business has some incredible tailwinds in the markets that it operates in. So from energy crisis defense, where a lot of corporate businesses do not want to experience again what they experienced in 2022, so are looking for ways of protecting themselves into the future so that they don't have that experience. The increased need for ESG disclosures, both from a ever-increasing mandatory and regulatory perspective, but now what we're seeing, more importantly, is it's a revenue critical item. If you want to renew your contract with your customer and you're a B2B business, then you have to have ESG disclosures. You have to have a carbon action program. Also, from an investor perspective, if you want to achieve investment, it's increasingly becoming one of the key criteria for investment decisions. And all of this then leads into effectively the drive towards net zero, that societal challenge, which ultimately all corporate businesses need to perform their part in actually delivering. Now, we get asked quite frequently, well, is that a long-term market? Is it a flash in the pan? If we look at the government statistics on what it will cost UK businesses with respect to industrial and commercial buildings and industrial processes, it's estimated to cost £138 billion between now and 2050 for UK PLC. So the business is well placed to be a platform to access that market opportunity and support corporate businesses in meeting that challenge. Clearly, as we look here today, I think one of the key parts is that's not an aspirational market. It's one that's here and now. And we already see a £0.7 billion opportunity clearly in front of us, which probably speaks to the fact that UK PLC is behind in its net zero investments. But again, from our side, as we start to go forward, very confident about the potential of that marketplace to really deliver a sustained growth environment for Inspired PLC. as we've touched upon many times, the business is all about building that trusted relationship with the client and cross-selling our services from multiple divisions. We land our clients on the assurance services and ESG services divisions, where we're processing a lot of unstructured data, and ultimately we're generating many touch points with the clients. So whether we start off talking to maybe an energy manager, a procurement person, a facilities manager, property manager, investor relations, their own ESG and sustainability teams, where ultimately we're helping them solve a number of challenges on a regular, repeatable basis. Great thing about these divisions are recurring revenues, long-term contracts, and non-discretionary calls to action. The clients have to do something. Once we've onboarded those clients and we've started to create those touch points around the organization, we generally create a C-suite relationship. So we're talking to the CFO, we're talking to the CEO, and then we're in the room helping them answer that repeatable demand question: how do I deliver my next unit of carbon emission reduction or my next unit of energy consumption reduction? And when we do that, what we see is that we're able to really help those organizations make a difference and remove those emissions from their business portfolio. From an FY23 performance perspective, you'll know we've been saying for a while now that everything we've done over the last 5 years has been really about transforming the business from a single product service TPI into a full suite sustainability service provider that was capable of delivering double-digit organic growth. And I'm really pleased to say that we achieved that in 23 with double-digit organic growth in revenue, adjusted EBITDA and adjusted PBT, contributed in part due to a tick up in EBITDA margin. From a cash generated from operations perspective, we generated 18.7 million of cash from operations, down on last year, but it's important to note that's really only a function of where you draw the line at year end and how projects fall in the year. So if you looked at our cash conversion on an LTM basis, it averaged more than 85% over 2023, and Paul will sit there and walk you through that in more detail in the group financials. What I'm really pleased to be able to do now is, as a business, as we've matured and developed, is really start to show that when we talk about this thesis of onboarding clients in ESG and insurance, and then earning that trusted advisor status and delivering those optimization solutions, it's not something that we're planning to do. It's something we're actually doing, and we've got a really good track record of doing. So if we consider the number of clients that were supported by multiple divisions in 2023, we had 615 clients that took services from more than one division. That's pretty much double what we were doing in 2020. Another key part of the thesis is to increase the value that each client spends with us on an annual basis. If we look at what we achieved in 2023, 227 clients were spending more than £50,000 a year with us. Clearly, some clients spend millions, but from that perspective, again, really pleased to have doubled that from 2020. Of those clients who spend more than £50,000 a year, 159 of them were supported by multiple divisions in the organization, which again shows how we actually accelerate the revenue contribution per client when we're successful in that cross-sell thesis. One of the key factors, of course, is, and we say it quite frequently, all paths lead to a carbon action program, all paths lead to optimization solutions, which really deliver that benefit to the clients and make a difference in actually achieving a net zero carbon. So pleased to report that in 2023, 370 of our clients were active with optimization services in the year, more than 2.5 times the number in 2020. And we talk a lot about this repeatable demand process. We're not just trying to sell a solution, which is, oh, we'll organize your LED or your building controls. Effectively, we're helping those organizations answer that repeatable demand question. And I'm really pleased to say that more than half of our optimization clients in 2023 were repeat demand clients that procured optimization services from us previously. I think the final part of the thesis is really starting to increase that client lifetime value. To date, we've taken you through over the last couple of years case studies which really bring to life the potential of this, showing you some of the clients where we've been really successful and we've got empirically evidenced client lifetime value over the last 10 years of in excess of 5, 10, 15 million pounds. What we've done now is created a metric that goes across the portfolio, which really says for all the clients that were live with us in 2023, what is the average amount they've spent with us per year all the way back to 2020? And then we extrapolate that out forward on a 10-year basis. that really shows the current potential of the portfolio that we have on average for every customer. As you're pleased to note, that actually that's a significant evolution, more than double since 2020. So we'll be publishing these KPIs on an ongoing basis from now on, so people can see the way our performance is developing from an operational perspective. And for me, it really starts to just bring to life the successful transformation we've done over the last few years. Now I'm going to ask Paul and Dave to work through each division in turn, bringing those to life for you.
Thank you, Mark. So let's start with the assurance services, which of course is the heritage of Inspired. Just to remind, we are the undisputed market leader in this area. We get a tier all of our own within the Cornwall report that just goes to show the size, scale, and breadth of the offering that we have. It is a high-margin business, 40% plus adjusted EBITDA, consistently delivered, and we have good retention rates of clients, around 90%. We also talk about the visibility forward of the revenue in that area, over 80% already secured at the start of the year. It's true to say there are relatively low barriers to entry to start, but to grow to anything of a scale, there are some really, really high barriers to building a business that can cope with the ultimate complexity that this market offers. So what have we been doing during the year? Focusing, as Mark says, on creating that lifetime value, making sure we are serving customers well to make sure we're retaining them and stabilizing those margins. Of course, then augmented by new business wins that we're pleased to welcome to the group.
Thank you, Dave. So from a financial perspective, you'll know the assurance division has delivered 7% CAGR revenue growth since 2020, marginal growth in 2023 to 2022. As expected, a reduction in margin from the levels we saw in 2020 and 2021. And that was expected because we responded to the energy crisis through an investment in cost into our people, both in terms of FTE and also average cost in terms of where we needed resource at a level to support the customer need. Ultimately, without that level of support and service delivery within the assurance division, that doesn't enable the facilitation of the cross-sell, as Mark's demonstrated through the KPI. So our first instinct during the crisis was to react, support the customer, ensure our service remained market leading through extreme market conditions. The benefits of that are illustrated in that bounce back in retention rate we've seen in 2023 to that reduced rate we saw in 2022. And that gives us confidence as we move forward to guide to ongoing organic revenue growth and assurance of 2% at that stabilized margin rate we saw in 2023. You'll note that we also included in the RNS this morning the percentage of coverage we have in our order book as we enter 2024. So over 80% of our assurance revenues are secured within the order book for 2024. 14% of our forecast revenues in the assurance division will come via renewals through those high retention rates. And then a relatively small 5% of revenue contribution will come from new business wins within year, which gives us confidence in delivery for 2024.
So if we look at ESG, so our assurance service has a real strong call to action because you just have to buy energy. Every business needs it. ESG has a really strong call to action because of the obligations. Now, whether that's your obligations as one of our clients or the obligations of your clients or your investors that they're putting on you, as Mark mentioned before, it's becoming revenue critical. If you can't answer to your customers when they ask, or your investors when they ask, what's your pathway, what's your journey to net zero? If you can't answer that, the investment of the customer may well go elsewhere. So again, reminder, we entered this market organically in 2020. We did that from a position of data being the king and understanding the customer's data, building up this bottom-up audit-grade reports that are absolutely framework agnostic, so we can help the clients report in whichever format they so choose to do, leveraging all that data that we've already got. It's widely acknowledged that we have some really good products here that actually is moving us into a very strong position in that with these strong tailwinds behind us. So again, focus, increasing the lifetime value. We've got some further obligations that are coming through the CSRD, Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which will capture a further 50,000 companies with these reporting obligations. So some real good positive tailwinds that we're looking for in this ESG market.
Thanks, Dave. So in terms of ESG financial performance, so as Dave says, from that organic entry, got ourselves up to in excess of 5 million revenue in 3 years, which is really pleasing, but also pleased to report in 2023, now contributing meaningfully to EBITDA and cash generation of the group, following that level of investment in the startup in the first couple of years. One point to take from 2023, when you look forward to 2024 for ESG, is 2023 benefited from 1.9 million of revenues through delivery of our energy savings opportunity scheme, or supporting customers with the energy savings opportunity scheme. That revenue is cyclical, and we expect another round of high levels of revenue through that service delivery in 2027, but it won't repeat in 2024, which is where you see this division at gross level contributing marginal growth in 2024 to 2023. But removing the impact of ESOS in 2023, we delivered underlying ESG service growth in excess of 70% from 2023 to 2022, and we're guiding to in excess of 40% as we move forward into 2024.
We keep saying it, optimization is the growth engine for the business. This is where we are delivering physical solutions to change and intervene on clients' premises to make a difference to help deliver those net zero commitments. It's a huge opportunity that is driven almost entirely from our cross-sell activities. It's also recurring. There's a repeatable demand to this. So again, strong calls to action, whether it's from cost saving, from saving the kilowatt hour, or whether it's from carbon, from saving the emissions. Either way, we're there helping organizations understand that question: where do I spend the next pound of capital to remove that wasted kilowatt hour of energy? Mark's already highlighted some of the cross-sell numbers there, the fact we've doubled the number of clients that are taking our optimization services, and also over 50% of those are taking it repeatedly. They've done it in previous years as well. So really, really big growth area for us and strong demand coming through.
Thank you, Dave. So pleased to report for the third year on the row, we've contributed an absolute growth in EBITDA from the optimization division of 5 million. Noting that within the optimization division, there's numerous different products, so we can deliver various growth in revenue rates and different margins and still generate the absolute growth in EBITDA. You'll see when we guide moving forward that we're expecting margins in 2024 and 2025 comparable to those we saw in 2022. But ultimately, the division, the focus for us is on absolute growth. And we, as noted in my statement, that can come through a range of EBITDA margin subject to product and service delivery in any one period. But as Dave said, remains a key driver in that aspiration to double group EBITDA by 2027 from 2022.
Optimization is the growth engine, then software is the oil in that engine that keeps everything going. We use it to deliver our services for our clients. We use it to record their invoices, to do their budgets, to do their procurement, and so on. But more and more importantly, we also use the data we collect through our systems to identify the opportunities for our optimization business. So we're going with fully thought-through plans, and showing examples of how clients can move towards net zero. Not only do we use the software ourselves to deliver for clients, there are some clients that want to use that data themselves, that software themselves. So we have some direct relationships in our software business, and we also have external TPIs or competitors that use our software. We have over 500,000 meters on our platform. We are the dominant software provider in the market, a market-leading product with great retention rates and great margin as well.
So as Dave says, a facilitator for growth within our other divisions, but ultimately a division which has contributed CAGR revenue growth of 12% over the last 4 years, and we expect that growth rate to remain over the next 4 years. You'll note a slight reduction in margin in the period as a result of allocation of central overheads, with GP margins remaining stable to the previous year. And we enter 2024 with an expectation that in excess of 80% of our software revenues will come via renewals of existing software licenses, with the balancing 20% coming from new win contribution, which will either be from an expansion of revenue to existing customers or new client wins within year.
So let's just bring this all together in two case studies for you. So first one I want to talk about is Nuffield Health. This is an example of the diverse range of assurance services and how that helps us to embed ourselves within a client's organization. 2018, Nuffield joined us on a procurement basis. But since then, we've identified £1.4 million worth of billing errors for them. We've also then moved on to taking control of some of their water efficiency measures and save them a further £170,000. There's then the forgotten enabler contracts, your meter operator contracts. You've got to have them, but often they just get forgotten about. We saved £116,000 for them on negotiating group meter operator contracts. And on we could go. So all of this is about the diverse range of services. It's not a simple task, the assurance business. It really drives us in with that client. And now we're at the stage of starting to look at ESOS and look at how controlling and measuring and monitoring their consumption will lead on to optimization services, as we've talked about so many times. But here's the example of where we've gone and actually done that. Again, this is SSP, global provider of food and beverage outlets. 2015, joined the group finance reporting only. But between 2016 and 2023, you can see there the repeatable nature of the optimization services we offer. Again, I come back to this question of what do I do next? So once we've done some LED, we moved on to building management systems, we moved on to some refrigeration enhancements, and so on. All of these are repeatable. We keep going round and answering that virtuous circle of what do I do next? How do I improve this? CSRD coming along, as we've said before, there is an obligation to understand how and where energy is used. So they are engaging us to do a global smart metering implementation across their worldwide operations. So a great example there, client lifetime value, far in excess of £5 million. So an example there of that repeatability and the scale of the offering across optimization.
Thanks, Dave. So just to bring that back together, I guess, in terms of group financials. So just to demonstrate that diversification of the business since pre-2020 to post-2020, on this slide, you'll see that north of 90% of our EBITDA previous period came via the assurance division. Diversification into this full suite sustainability service provider demonstrated now with 45% of EBITDA coming through the optimization division and 5% now coming pleasingly through the ESG division post that organic entry in 2020 and 2021. So from a cash flow perspective in the period, as Mark mentioned at the start, 75% underlying cash generation from operations in the period versus an expectation of 80% we said at the start of the period, directly as a result of the level of optimization project activity in Q4, which subsequently unwind post the period end, meaning that underlying cash generation operations at the end of February was in excess of 100% on a 12-month LTM basis. We're guiding to an expectation of 85% for 2024, and the key point is operating cash and cash generation remains a key focus of the group. In terms of cash flows for investing activities, so £12.1 million in the period paid for contingent consideration from those transactions we completed in 20 and 2021. But very much the balance sheet date of 31st December 2023 being an inflection point for those structures, in which, looking forward to 2024, you'll note that the current liability in the balance sheet is 13.2 million, 2.6 of which we will satisfy through share issue to the Ignite vendors, and 10.6 million through cash. But then beyond 2024, we're in a position where the maximum contingent consideration we can pay is 2.3 million per annum to the Ignite vendors, subject to delivery of performance in excess of what we're currently guiding to. That's what gives us confidence in noting this morning, this morning's RNS, that the board has a objective to reduce levels of net debt to EBITDA to nearer 1x by the end of 2025, noting that net debt to EBITDA at 31st December 2023 was 1.93 times.
So I guess kind of having gone to each division and building those up in detail, great set of results for us for 23, and ultimately hopefully a clear demonstration of how that cross-sell thesis, as we've transformed into being a full suite sustainability service provider, has really become embedded in the organization, and we're delivering on all the things that we said we would do. I guess key part of that as well, though, is from an ESG perspective. So as somebody who, as a company which aspires to be a market leader in ESG, clearly we have to lead by example. So we've been transparent in our ESG information for a number of years now, voluntarily disclosing way ahead of our mandatory obligations to do so. So you find us delivering our fourth ESG report, aligned with the GRI, the Global Report Initiative, and our TCFD report, Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, along with SECA, the Carbon Disclosure Project. And we're really pleased to have received, again, the Green Economy Mark from the London Stock Exchange. We're also now early adopters of TNFD, which is the Task Force for Nature-Related Financial Disclosures. And ultimately, that's the next thing that's going to start to evolve in the coming years, where biodiversity gets added to the mix of the responsibilities that business have generally in society. From our own perspective, in 2023, the group revised its Scope 1 and Scope 2 net zero targets to make it more ambitious, bringing it forward from 2035 to 2030. And that's also underpinned by our investment in our new head office, which will be, by the time it's finished being refurbished, will be electrified and well positioned to remove all Scope 1 emissions from that premise. If we look at FY24 and beyond, we're better placed than ever to support UK businesses in delivering that net zero challenge, estimated to be 138 billion between now and 2050. Strong start to Q1, as Paul's mentioned, with substantial cash generation. And we've progressed our own ESG strategy to ensure that we're walking the talk. Confident in our ability through the cross-sell engine, you can see through the actual KPIs we're now able to demonstrate, and the historic track record of those, that we're able to maintain our aspiration to double adjusted EBITDA for, as seen in FY22, by FY27. So overall, as an organization, really excited for the year ahead. And as always, I would like to thank all of our staff and employees who make all of this possible.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.